Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I have had a car that had some trouble with it. And I used to have a little flap on the back of, what is that thing called? Rubber strap to keep my trunk down. And I've had it for months on there. And then my car wouldn't work. And so I hadn't been driving it for a while. And Lyle Monica went and helped me get a battery and get it started. And even when I had started it, it still wouldn't work because it wasn't the battery that caused that. It just would not work at all for probably at least 5 months. So they're there that day, and I'm telling them about that, and they're like, okay, well, let's lay hands on it and pray. So we all three laid hands on it, and it's been down ever since. Healed and, yeah.
I actually heard it lock. Prayed and laid hands on it. You could hear it just close and lock.
So it's locked, yes. Isn't that amazing after all that thing? So God, if he can heal my car, he can heal y'all.
Amen.
Amen.
God can heal a Mercedes. Hallelujah. All right, come on up. Come on up. Come on up, Darla. I'm naming you. That way everybody can know who you are.
Well, I'm trying to get over my migraine headaches, and I know the Lord is healing me of them because they get less and less and farther apart. But they started it in about my mid-30s, and they've just been tormentuous every month, just 3 to 4 to 5 days of torment every month. You could just look forward to it, and it didn't matter what. But they're getting less and less, so I know the Lord's healing me of them. I haven't had one in a little while, and the other day, it kicked in. And Wednesday was the second day of it. And I was praying, please, God. And I said, Lord, I've never been to the emergency room with them, never. But I said, I just don't think I can do this again. I told Michael, my husband, I said, if this doesn't let up in a little bit, I'm going to have to go to the emergency room. I just can't do it no more. I'm getting too old. I just can't handle it anymore. But I'm scared of pain medicine. But I just can't sit here and lay here and have another three-day migraine. 3 days of just torture. Well, Wednesday night, I just told Michael, I said, I think I'm fixing to go. I just can't take it no more. And Brother Lyle and Miss Monica come by, prayed for me. Miss Monica put her hands over my eyes, and I pushed her hand into my eyes and forehead. And you know when you push your eyeballs, you see sparkles and colors and stuff. You do. You know, you'll see dots floating and everything. But when she put her hands over my eyes and my head and my forehead, I could see perfect rectangles of purple and green all over. And when she got through praying, that headache was gone, has not come back. I have not taken another pill. I was taking 4 ibuprofen, 2 extra strength Tylenol together, Excedrin migraine. I was just pouring it down, and it was not phasing anything. When she got through praying, that was the end of the headache, and I got up and started cleaning that messy house. And one other thing, too, I was going to say. I've been laying in the bed just having, because I panic. I have anxiety and panic, and I pray about that all the time, too. And I was thinking, what are we going to do about the school clothes? Oh, what are we going to do? And here comes Susie Kuehl Dollins, my dear lifelong friend, up in the yard, her and Ted. 3 brand new pair of blue jeans for each boy, 6 shirts for each boy, and a whole bag of socks for each boy. And I was thinking, okay, we got that. And I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you for the school supplies. And their grandmother calls and says, I'm getting the school supplies. So the Lord just, I'll lay there in a sheen of sweat, just panic. But then at the end of the night, I'll say, I've just got to trust in you. I've got to know that you're going to make everything okay. And he does every single time. And this morning, my niece, who I love so much, put on the Facebook thing that she's having trouble with anxiety, bad anxiety. And I sent her a bunch of scripture. And so pray for my niece, Nicole, because she's got that real high-stress Fort Worth job and 3 kids, and she's just under so much stress and anxiety. So pray for Nicole and that she can overcome that. With that, thank you.
I'll do that right now. You want to pray with me? Or y'all can join in. We'll just lift up Nicole to you, Lord. With no sense of being under that any longer. We don't want her to be under the demonic attack like that. So we speak to that stress and anxiety and all the works of the devil. We say, you let her go. You go. You rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. You're downloading peace in her. The peace of God is going through that lady, through her mind, spirit, and body, and she's completely restored in Jesus. And we all agree, amen. 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 Praise God. No sense sitting there putting up with it. I've learned to pray a lot quicker like that and to pray for it now. Like I shared the other week, I was talking about how when I was getting started, that first time I prayed for Monica with kidney infection, I prayed she'll be pain-free and gone by the next morning. It was gone the next morning, but she sure suffered all night long. I don't know why I didn't pray for her to be healed right then. But you learn. I was learning. I was noticing something the other day. I was walking by something, and I'm like, where's your choke point on your faith? Where's your choke point on your faith? We're going to do tithes and offerings. If you look at a swimming pool out there, is your choke point $2,000, $3,000? Oh, that's high. That's expensive. Can I get that? I mean, where's your choke point? And I'm sitting there. I'm believing for a billionfold return of my giving to be a blessing. I'm believing for a great. Some believe for a hundredfold. You can believe for the return. And where's your choke point that you sit there on your bills and everything? Oh, that's so expensive. How am I going to do this? What's that? Where is your choke point where your faith turns from prosperity, more faith in prosperity, and it goes into more faith in poverty? Where's your choke point? Where's your choke point? You got to get it back, get rid of that choke point. You got to be able to believe that no matter what it is, how big it is, that you can afford it through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And same thing works on for healing. How much faith do you have in sickness and disease? How much faith do you have in? There's some that balk right now at it, and they're like, well, you're going to be sick sometime. You know, they've heard it, and they've been enough in the news and everything else, TV and everything. You're going to be sick sometime. But the thing with that is, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus destroyed sickness and disease. He destroyed it. So praise God. Where's your choke point on sickness and disease? It's been destroyed. You should be believing that you're never going to get sick, praise God, and have disease. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to put our faith, use our faith. So prosperity is this. God's will is to prosper you spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, financially. I'll say it again. His will is to prosper you spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, and financially. The Vine's Dictionary of Biblical Words definition of blessed means blessed, prosper, to bestow blessings upon, and power. You know, God has always prospered his people. You can go through the Bible, and we're gonna take a little tour through the Bible. Let's go back and look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. This man was named Abram in the beginning, and he was from the Ur of Chaldeans is where he was living. And remember, God told him to leave and get over here to the promised land, the land of Canaan, or where he's at, went to. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. So what did he do? In the land that I will show you. He obeyed. He obeyed. That's your first step. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. He obeyed God, and then what did God tell him? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tie this in the New Testament, because this blessing that God bestowed on Abraham and this covenant God made with Abraham actually ties into us too in the new covenant, praise God. He's the father of faith, it's called. Because he's actually the first one to believe, and he was given righteousness because he believed God. The law came after that. God used Moses to bring the Ten Commandments of law, but it started off with just like we are nowadays, with faith. You know, he believed God and trusted God. Hallelujah. All right. Genesis 13:2. Now, so what have we done? God told him that he obeyed God to leave his country, and he did. And now God bestowed the blessing on him. Now what happens on 13:2? Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. Didn't take long, did it? One chapter and he's blessed. One chapter and he's blessed, praise God. Hallelujah. And there it also says he had like 300 servants, people working for him. Hallelujah. It's amazing. One chapter. Well, let's look at Genesis 14. See what he says about him there. Verse 18, please. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out the bread and wine, and he was the priest and God a Most High, priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High, who has delivered you from delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham, what did he do? First thing he did, he was compelled by God to give that priest his tithes, praise God, bringing into the man of God, hallelujah. So, you know, he already learned from God to tithe. In fact, tithing was even before that. It was back there with Cain and Abel. You know, Abel brought the greater sacrifice. He brought the first year lambs. I'm talking about no blemish. And it that's what I believe. It doesn't say that in there, but I really believe that as far as the lambs he bought, didn't have no blemish on him. There wasn't. It was the best that he had. I think Cain, where he messed up was he was a farmer. He brought the older corn or the ones that weren't the first fruits, praise God. He should have brought the first fruits, and then he got mad and killed his brother. And so, I mean, you know, bring your best. That's why I said when we were doing this, whatever you're giving away, give it away your good stuff the best you can. Don't give nothing holes in it like shoes or clothes or nothing like that. Good stuff that people can use, praise God, that they can use, something that you'd want to wear. Hallelujah. All right. Genesis 17, verse 1. We're going to talk, now we're going into the covenant. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Who likes to be multiplied exceedingly? Well, I'm glad to see some hands that want to be multiplied exceedingly. Praise God. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you." They keep speaking about this covenant. God swore by himself because there was nothing higher, nobody higher he could swear by himself, praise God. "And you shall be the father of many nations." In fact, that reminds me of what I'm doing a study on the covenant, the blood covenant, and Kenneth really believes that God has got a mark on his side where he made that covenant with Abraham because he swore to Abraham. He made a mark on himself swearing to Abraham that he could swear by no one higher, that his part will be done no matter what. And the same mark is what happened with Jesus when he was on the cross, when he was with that spear. It's kind of like the same kind of mark and stuff because the covenant was made. There's a covenant made with God and man. All right. "No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations." Wow. Here he is, 99 years old, and no children, and his wife Sarah's womb was dead, and he calls him the father of many nations. God calls those things to be not as though they are, doesn't he? That's why you need to be doing something too, because you're in a God class too. You're a human being with... You have free will to speak what you want to speak. You're in that same class. You're made in God's image and likeness, praise God. Angels don't have that right. They mess up, get out of line, they're gone. "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation. For an everlasting covenant," there's that covenant, "to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you should keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout all their generations." Praise God. And throughout every generation, praise God, and they're still going. We're in that same covenant, hallelujah. Exact same covenant. All right, let's kick over to now the New Testament. Romans 4. See? They're talking about him in the New Testament too. Romans 4. Okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. That's where he had faith in God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, praise God. The law, which has been, now it's faith through Jesus. The law was fulfilled through Jesus and everything, and it was Ten Commandments, and it's just basically love God with everything you got. That was the first five commandments. And the second five was love your neighbor as love yourself. It's that God made it real easy on us. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. That's favor. So that the promise might be sure to all the seeds. That's us too. Not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are in the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Is that what it said or not? That's what the Bible says. He's the father of us all. As written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as they did. That's why you need to be watching what you're saying. Speaking the word of God. Speaking the faith. All right, we're going to finish up in Galatians 3. We're just kind of taking a little tour through the Bible about our promise of this covenant with Abraham and the blessings. Galatians chapter 3:13. Chapter 3:13. Christ, that means the anointed one, that's Messiah, the anointed one, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So what? We've been redeemed from that curse of the law, hadn't we? That's what the Bible says. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. And you think about that. See, you couldn't keep the law the whole thing. You could not keep the whole law. You were going to mess up somewhere in sin. Thank goodness for Jesus Christ to give us that, to go back like it was with Abraham, that we can believe by faith. And it's even better now because we got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. It's why it's called, it's a better covenant. All right, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham come on you as soon as you got saved, praise God. Whether you believe it or not, whether you receive it or not, it's on your life, praise God. This blessing through Jesus Christ overrides the curse, praise God. Jesus destroyed the curse, took it for us, and we don't have to be cursed with sickness, disease, poverty anymore. He goes on to say that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. All right, verse 29 of the same chapter. And if you are Christ, are you Christ? Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you heirs according to the promise? All right, let's say I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm healed. How much faith do you have in it? You better get your faith out of that other stuff and get it over here in the Word of God and this blessing, this covenant, praise God. That's where your blessings are, hallelujah. All right, men, can you come up? Well, hold on, let me pray over first. My God, I just thank you, Lord, for this. We bring this tithes and offerings, Lord, to you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we were all at one time Gentiles. We were heathens. Didn't know where to go. We were stuck in darkness, doomed to go to hell. But we heard about this good news of Jesus Christ and salvation, and we asked him in our heart and got saved, and we thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Now, Jesus, take this as our high priest, this tithes and offerings to our Father, and worship him with it at the altar. Just worship him with it, Lord, at the altar. And we just thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, Father, for it. And we're believing, Lord, that you said to bring the tithes in the storehouse, Lord, and prove you in it, and you'll open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on us, and there's not room enough to contain it all. You'll rebuke the devourer touching our stuff. The destroyer shall not destroy our fruits of our ground. All is caused happy and blessed. We give, and it should be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall mean given our bosom. For same measure we meet, thought it should be measured to us again. Lord, I pray that everybody is in here believing with me that they're all debt free. We name this seed debt free. Lord, we're believing we're debt free. Lord, at the minimum, we're believing for 100-fold. Everybody, you can look there on over in Mark 10 about the rich young ruler, guaranteed 100-fold return on at minimum. And Lord, some of us are seeding for the billion flow. Billions of salvations, billions of healings, billions of dollars come back into the gospel, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for it. That's what I'm believing for, Lord. And Lord, I just join my faith with them, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, it is done. All right, man, you can come pick that up, please. Hallelujah. He's the God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. Bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are.
Oh, our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. Grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves.
Amen. Young man, you can pick those up, please. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory,
get
glory.
Get me set up.
All right.
Praise God. Amen. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Amen. Isn't that good? That's good. That was good. I feel like we've already had church. Amen. Amen. But you know what? It's good we come to church. Because we are at the end, praise God. And we come here to get each other hot and fired up because he's coming. He is coming. And plus, we learn how to overcome and win. Praise God. We can do this. We encourage each other, get fired up, and learn. Praise God. Amen. He's getting me all set up. Amen. All right, well, youth and children are released. Youth and children are released. Praise. That's right. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. You said to study to show yourself approved. I did, but just anoint me now, Lord. Because we need to hear from you. We need to hear what you have to say, Father, for this time and this day and this hour, Lord. We come to you for wisdom. We come to you for the anointing and the power and the wisdom that we need. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are hungry to know the truth, Father God. Give us supernatural understanding, because you said when we understand, we would be healed. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. We take it by faith. And, Lord, you also said you would confirm your word with signs and wonders and miracles. So we're expecting that, Lord, that there's going to be signs and wonders following us wherever we go. And, Satan, take notice right now. I bind you from operating in this church. You get out in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen. 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 Well, we're in an important time in history. And so that's why I'm doing this series. God has been impressed. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but God's been impressing me. He wants this done because we're having an election coming. And there's a lot of people that say that, you know what, our vote don't count, but that's not true. For two reasons. One, even if they do cheat, our vote is a seed. God sees it. And two, if it doesn't matter, why are they fussing about it so much, right? You know, it wasn't until the Christians started getting involved that there's been all this push, push, push. Because they know it's making a difference, and we're in the middle of the greatest awakening ever. Amen? And so this is number 6 of Can America Be Saved? And this morning I want to talk about the miracles of the Revolutionary War, the miracles of the War of Independence. Because you know what history is? History is just a record of God's relationship with us, our relationship with God. That's how the Jews always looked at it. To Jews, history was just a record. And the whole word, the Bible, the Word of God, is the history of our relationship with Him as a nation. And you know what? Our founding fathers did the same thing. They recorded the miracles, God's intervention during the whole process. And so the anti-Christians took Him out and made history just a bunch of facts. No, it's a record of God's divine intervention when we call out for help. Isn't that good? And so I want to start off with our founding scriptures, and the first one is Psalms 33, verse 12. Psalms 33, verse 12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance." And we, you know what? We, as a nation, we have a covenant with Jesus. I'm going to talk about that later on during the series. But from the very beginning, when they first came unto the shore, the Puritans and the Pilgrims, they put the cross on there, and they said, "We dedicate this land. We dedicate ourselves to You." And they made a compact with God and with each other. And so we, in fact, this Word of God is the terms of our covenant with God, our Father, through Jesus. Isn't that good? And we have it as a nation. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14 is another foundational scripture for this series. He said, "If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, He will hear us. He will forgive us, and He will heal our land." Isn't that good news? And so God wants us to look back and see His works. He wants us to teach our children about God's intervention in our lives as a people, as a nation. And I want to look at Chronicles 16, verse 12. Chronicles 16, verse 12 says this: "Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments and the rulings He has given." Remember the wondrous works. He wants us to look back and remember all the miracles and wonders that He has done. Remember, you know, in Acts 7, when Stephen was given his testimony before they stoned him to death, he went all the way from the time of Abraham, he went through the time of Moses when God delivered them, all the way to show the hand of God through history. God wants us to do the same thing. Let's look at Psalms 105, verse 5. It says this: "Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced." We are to remember it. And then Psalms 77, verse 14. "You are the God who performs miracles. You display Your power among the peoples." He does it so that we can see it. "You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate Your awesome power among the nations." Isn't that good? And then verse 11 and 12 says this: "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will consider all Your works and meditate on all Your mighty deeds." God wants us to consider Him in all our affairs, not just go about doing our own thing. We don't have to face problems on our own. Isn't that good? He wants us to consider Him, put Him in the equation. Isn't that good? And then Joshua 4, verse 20. Joshua 4, verse 20, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones," each one representing each tribe, I believe, "they had taken out of the Jordan." This was after they crossed it. "He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean?'" And they found these, by the way. They actually found these stones. Yep. "What do these stones mean? Tell them." He wants us to tell our children and tell them that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. "For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what He had done to the Red Sea when He dried it up." It's a testimony. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of God is powerful is powerful. And so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Isn't that good? He wants us to write these down and to tell our children so we would remember what God has done so that we can face anything without fear and we can face it with boldness and we would remember not leave the ways of God. Isn't that good? He wants us to remember. And so when we look back at the founding of our nation, we see them in their costumes, in their wigs, looking, some of them looking pretty old. But you know what? At the time, during the revolution, the war for independence, most of them were pretty young. You know, these were men who chose to go against evil, not for themselves, but for those who could not defend themselves and for future generations. They didn't know how it was going to end, right? We're looking back in history. They weren't. You know, and there was only a handful that was experienced in war. Most of them were citizen militias. And they were just doing it one prayer at a time. They had to work with what they had. And George Washington was chosen to be their first commander-in-chief because they knew him. They knew the kind of man that he was. He was a man of God. And so during the French and Indian War of 1754, this was when they were all British citizens. This was a civil war. It was Englishmen against Englishmen. We have to remember that. And so he was a commander of the British army at that time during the French and Indian War. And he was miraculously saved. In fact, here's some pictures. And it was the Battle of the Monongahela. I'm probably not saying it right. And so Washington and the British Army were ambushed by the French. They were ambushed. And every officer, he was an officer, on horseback was killed except for him, every single one of them. And he wrote a letter to his brother John in July of 1755. It was a year later. And he said, but by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence. See, they called Jesus our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but they called the Father God Providence because they had such sacred honor towards him. By the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectations. For I had four bullets through my coat, and two horses shot out from under me, and yet I escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me. I can't help but think of Psalm 91:7. And he was 23 years old at the time. And here's Psalm 91, verse 7. It says this: 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, but these evils will not touch you. They will not come near you. Isn't that good? God rescued him. And one of the Indian chiefs searched him out years later to shake the hand of the one protected by the Great Spirit. Yeah, he said, listen, the Great Spirit is upon that man, and he will guide. He prophesied over him. He'd become a Christian, that chief. And he said, he will guide his destinies. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as founder of a mighty empire. In fact, there's a book called The Prophecies. I can't remember the name of it. I shouldn't have written it down, but they were prophesying about him. And then when Washington was faced, the founder, the 56 signers were faced, because he was one of them, was faced with the decision whether to sever their ties with the British Empire. It was like a 2 to 4 year process, actually. They were already being oppressed further and further and burnt. You know, it was escalating more and more. And he said, when they finally made that decision to sign, he said, we went to church and fasted and prayed all day long. And here's some. And what happened was, after he finally signed it, he went to the in front of the city hall, and he read it. And then they dispatched it to all 13 colonies. And so, and then the militia took down the statue of King George to make muskets because they had, they were already starting to confiscate all their weapons and their ammunition. They're already doing that. You know, so this was like a long going process. And this is when they were taking down the statue. What it looks like. And I think they made like 49,000 musket balls out of it, is what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're looking back in history, they didn't know how it was going to end. But they didn't want to be used. See, the 56 signers, most of them were men of means. They didn't have to risk everything. But they were at the point where they were being pushed to help oppress. And they're like, we're not going to do that. They've been listening to the word of God. They've been coming to church. They've learned that we're all men created equal. And they were not going to be used to go against God to oppress their fellow man. So they made this pledge. And they prayed through it all. And so when he became commander in chief, he appointed chaplains for every regiment. Because he said men needed spiritual nourishment as well as the kind for your body. Because this is a war that cannot be won without the help and assistance of God. We're going to need miracles. They did understand that from the very beginning. Amen? And one miracle was Paul Revere. You remember that? See, I don't even remember most of this. And there's so much because there was actually 24 battles in all that comprised of the war, 24. And when Paul Revere was watching for them, this was after they already signed the declaration of their intent to separate. We are not going to follow after you anymore. We're going to have our own nation now. We are separating. It was like a divorce paper from the empire. And so they were gathering their militia, and they knew that they were going to start sending more troops. And so Paul Revere and William Dawes, they were ready, and they had given a signal. You know, we have the one lantern on, and when you see two, that means they're coming. Get together. Get your militia together. And so they always had that one. When they had two lanterns, because they couldn't be loud, because there was British that were not, didn't want to fight. And so they were on the side of the British, and then there was some that was living among them. And so there had already been an April of 1775, April 18th. There was orders to capture Samuel Adams and John Hancock because they were speaking out against what happened with the Boston Massacre. They were one of the signers. You could definitely see John Hancock. He had the big, bold signature. So they said, we want their bodies. We want Samuel Adams, and we want John Hancock, we want their bodies, and then we want you to confiscate all the rest of the arms that you can find. And so they saw, Paul Revere and them saw it, and they were miraculously, you know, and they stopped Paul Revere. Did you know that? They stopped him, roughed him up, and questioned him, but he was able to get away and warn Hancock and Samuel Adams, and so they considered that a glorious, miraculous intervention of God. Amen? And see, here's Paul Revere when he gets away from them. Yeah, and there's the two signals. Because they couldn't be loud like they said it was. And then the next miracle was in August of 1776. And the British general, they had trapped Washington and his troops in Brooklyn Heights on Long Island. And they meant to advance on them the next morning to destroy them, okay? Because they were trapped. They couldn't get away. And they said, well, in the morning, we're going to get rid of them all. We'll take care of this rabble army, right? And so that night, George Washington looked for every boat and vessel he could find to get them out of there. There was like 9,000 men. And when morning came, there still was so many men. And they were doomed to die. And so, you know, of course, they were praying. All that, we need a miracle, another miracle. Well, guess what? God sent a thick fog. A thick fog. They could barely see each other. But it stayed there until all those men got free. That's a divine intervention of God. And Washington said, see, God is helping us. because, you know, they didn't know how it was going to end. Amen. And here was a scripture that he used, 1 Corinthians 10:13. See, this is when they were getting him out. There's that fog. And then here's the scripture that he used. He said, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And they were tempted to quit. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. And God provided a way of escape. Isn't that good? He does every time. And see, you know, when our founding fathers pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor, they didn't know the suffering they would face. They really didn't understand what they were, but they kept it regardless. And well, because their army was mostly civilians, they didn't have the funds. They didn't have the training, and they were up against the disciplined veterans of the greatest army in the world and navy in the world at that time. And the Battle of Bunker Hill was the very first victory that they actually had. The militiamen started coming together. They decided, and the British were coming off their barges. And so they decided, we're just going to go ahead and attack them from the front as they get out of their barges. Well, the British general saw that, and he was sending for a ship to come to the side and said, we're going to stop this. But guess what? The cannons quit working. They had the wrong size cannons. It wouldn't work. Isn't that good? So they were, and so that was the first time that the British have ever been stopped. And here is this by an untrained rabble army. Yep, that's the intervention of God right there. See, here they are, Bunker Hill. See, they took paintings of it. Yep, and the next miracle was in Trenton, New Jersey, otherwise known as the Crossing of the Delaware. We've all probably heard of that. Washington planned to attack on Christmas, and they had staged a small attack because they knew the British knew, you know, there was a report that they were coming, so they staged a smaller one. So it worked. The British thought, well, they're not coming. That was it. But guess what? As they were crossing the Delaware, freezing cold, a farmer that was on the side of the British saw him and sent a note to the British general and said, they're still coming. Get ready. They're still coming. Well, you know what? The colonel was too busy playing a game of cards. He didn't even read it. Yep. So no matter what the enemy tried, God still helped them. Isn't that good? And they thanked God for that because they didn't know, because they were cold, tired, but yet they were still successful. Here it is. They were on their way. And then there's the crossing. Yep, and it was cold because it was Christmas. You know, Washington later wrote, there were many times they had gone 4 days without food, lacking provision, yet every time they thought the end was near, God always provided, always. Because he wrote about this. There was another battle. It was two attacks from the British, and the colonial army was running out of ammunition. Finally, they got to the point where they were out, and they had to use their bayonets and their rifles as clubs. And so here they're outnumbered. It really looked like this time they were going to lose. This was it. And all of a sudden, for no reason, the British withdraw. They just leave for no reason. And they wrote about it. It was amazing. This saved by God again is what they said. Isn't that good? Yep, it was just miracle after miracle, and this was that time. I don't even remember the name of that battle. And they just leave them. And then they talked about Romans 8:31. It says this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And this was during the time, man, morale was low. They were starving. They were hungry. And then they had to take the fort by Ticonderoga. They had to take it in order to keep New York safe. And so this was Ethan Allen and Benedict Arnold. They took their troops their regiment to go there. But when they arrived, the gates were open. And then when the guards finally realized what was happening, the rifles wouldn't work. They were able to take that fort without no shot, not a single shot. And they were able to take that fort. Amen. That's the divine intervention of God. There's that fort. Yep. Look at that. He took them by surprise. Yep. And see, the British should have won. They were the greatest army and navy in the world. The colonists didn't even have a navy. They were veterans, well organized. They had funds. They had lots of funds, lots of money, lots of food, lots of supplies. But the Americans, most of them, they had no navy, not much money. The biggest problem was lack of shoes and clothing, food. But yet they made it. They made it. Praise God. And they said it was because the faith of God, the faithfulness of God, is they said. You know, God helped them supernaturally with weather, distractions, raised help every time they needed it. Because there was many sacrifices. You know, many times George Washington said that he preferred to be home in Mount Vernon. But he made a commitment, so he stayed all the way to the end. Even during the hardest times. And the hardest time was in Valley Forge. There was never a battle there, but that's where they stayed for the winter. It was the hardest time because, they've been tired. They've been fighting, battle-weary, running out of food, clothing. It was very discouraging time, but he stayed there, and they prayed together. They trained them, and then they prayed, and they taught them the Word of God and encouraged them. God is on our side. God is on our side. And here's some pictures from that. A lot of time praying. This is very famous pictures, but he was caught praying all the time. Asking for assistance, asking for guidance, asking for provision. Because he would feel overwhelmed. And then he would try to encourage all the men. And, you know, here's some more pictures. And he would just do his best to encourage them and train them. And then they would read the Word of God together. But see, back east, it's pretty cold. See, they set up camp there all winter long. Because the British, they camped too. But the British had their provision. They had plenty of food. They had plenty of warmth. See, and they were just trying to make shelter the best that they could. Amen. He said it was very humiliating, very tiresome, very discouraging at times, but they kept their faith in God because he was faithful. And so when there was a time where the war was at a standstill and funds were running out, every time, you know, because they had sent help to France. I think it was Benjamin Franklin and two others to send help for finances and men for help, and they didn't know if they even hurt it, you know, if they even made it there or not. And so in the summer of 1780, it appeared that the British was going to win again. Because here they were trapped, running out of ammunition yet again. And now the British had taken New York. They'd taken Yorktown. Benedict Arnold had turned traitor. It looked like it was all going to fall apart after all this. But guess what? You know, and then the British, they were determined that this is it. We're going to end this once and for all. And guess what? The French Navy showed up just in time. Just in time. And not only that, but in the last battle in Yorktown, this time they had some more money, they had some clothes, and they had French helping them. But here they were trapped yet again, but because the British sent all their armies at once, they wanted to end this, but guess what? They were convinced God sent a storm. God sent a storm that was so bad it scattered the British army to the point where they surrendered. That was the Battle of Yorktown. God ended the war at Yorktown, finally. Isn't that good? to the point where they finally surrender. See, here's the French Navy when they came, finally helped them right at the nick of time. And these are all paintings that this was the Battle of Yorktown when they finally got surrendered. Now that was a victory. That's the surrender. And you know what? They were such godly men that after the war, they actually gave the loyalists, which was traitors, their own land back. The British, they weren't that very nice and forgiving, but they gave them their land back and everything just to show them. And so what was the price of freedom? I'll tell you. This is what happened to the 56 signers. 5 were captured and brutally tortured. 9 died in the war, either from the hardship or the wounds. 2 lost their sons. 2 sons were captured by the British. Most had their homes destroyed, pillaged, and burned. Most went bankrupt. What kind of men were they? Well, they were lawyers, judges. They were merchants and farmers and plantation owners. They were teachers, musicians, doctors, preachers, seminary teachers. And you know what? Their children and their wives suffered too. A lot of them were on the brink of starvation and deprivation. Many were betrayed, and so the wives and children had to live as refugees and live under hiding from house to house. Some wives were actually even imprisoned and treated so poorly that they died shortly after release. The British weren't quite so nice. But these, you know, but most of them who signed were men and women who really didn't have to sacrifice, but they chose to do it because they were not going to be used to oppress their fellow man. They felt it was their duty to secure the liberty of those who did not have the funds to help themselves. They refused to enslave them. This tells us about the great importance of standing up for the rights of others. But the good news is we might not have to fight like they did. Look what happened with Russia and Berlin. The East Berlin Wall came down because of faith. Faith, right? But we need, as Christians, we need to get involved so we don't have to take up arms. Now, we will if we have to. And guess what? God will be on our side. But if we get enough Christians to pray, to speak words of faith, and to get actively involved in politics, you know, the ones that are making decisions that are affecting the lives of our children in the school boards, in the city councils, right, local, state, and federal, if enough of us would get involved, we won't have to take up arms. Because guess what? God is on our side. If we do it in faith, right? And here's Isaiah. And this is what, then when they were praying right before they signed the declaration, they took it seriously, and they kept their commitment no matter what. Well, there was one who was captured, and he wrote, you know, they made him say that he regrets signing it, but then after he got released, he signed it again. I can't remember his name, but yeah, that was under duress. But Isaiah 58 verse 1 says this: shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. God doesn't. Tell my people Israel of their sins, yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. Next page. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why. I will tell you why. It's because you're fasting to please yourself. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You must humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance. Bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this is what pleases me? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. free those who are wrongly. Free those who are wrongly. I guess I went. Let me go back. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. That's the kind of fasting God wants. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. That's what he wants. He cares about people, how we treat people. Lighten the burdens of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn. And your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward. I like that. Our godliness, that's the word of God and the Spirit of God inside us that's leading us forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind, right? We can count on his protection when we do the right thing. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I'm here. He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Isn't that good? Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. And help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness. And the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. That's what's going to get rid of the darkness in this world. Amen? The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you'll be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. God is interested in us being healed in our families, being healed in our cities, removing the oppression. And we need to speak out for those that can't speak out for themselves. So we do need to be the voice to tell them, hey, God will help us if we do the right thing. We need to be a voice in the school boards to make sure our children are taught the truth. And guess what? God said he'll back us. He'll help us. Isn't that good? Amen. I'm excited. And that's just the miracles of that one war. And there's so much more that we could never even go through it all. Just in this nation alone. Isn't that good? So if God is for us, who can be against us? God has a plan for this nation. He's not finished yet. He is not finished. He wants us to be the light of the world again. Amen? Let's pray. I hope that was an encouragement to y'all. See if it did any good. Well, Father God, we just come before you. And Lord, we are hungry to see more miracles. We are hungry to see our nation restored. We are hungry, Lord, for our children to be taught the truth. We're hungry to see your word saturate every part of this nation. We want to see your holy, yes, Lord, you said that in the last days you'd pour out your spirit on all flesh. Well, we call on that, Lord, for your spirit to be poured out on every man, woman, and child in our nation right now. Lord, we're calling for the greatest awakening ever to be on our nation, Lord, that we would be your voice in the wilderness. We would make straight the way for your presence to take over this nation, Lord, that the word of God will be in our schools. The word of God will be everywhere we look and everywhere we hear and everything that we see. Your word will be there, Father God. I just thank you for that, Lord, that you hear us and you will. You said whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So we loose your word and your Holy Spirit. And we bind up every work of the devil. You get out of our nation. You get out of our children. You get out of their airways. You get out of our schools. You get out of our cities. You get out of our workplaces. You get out of our banks. You get out of every place of our nation. You get in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we leave, you'd go with us. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to go with us, and signs, wonders, and miracles are going to follow us. You're going to confirm your word. Every time we speak out your word, you're going to confirm it. Every time we pray, you're going to show yourself, Lord, because we want every man, woman, and child in this nation to know that you are God. We have a God in this nation, and his name is Jesus. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it. And if there's any of you that are listening to the CD or on our website, voiceofbelieverschurch.org, and you don't know Jesus, Jesus is coming soon. That's right. And you don't want to be caught without Jesus, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And guess what? The wages of sin is death. Death forever. It's not going to be good, but guess what? The free gift of God is salvation. That's right. It's a free gift. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, because Jesus died on the cross for every one of us. Every one of us needed to be saved. And when you call on him, he will come. And just tell him, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for raising up, being raised up and sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for me. And Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart and into my life and just change me, make me a new person, and be my Lord. And if you prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear from you. Or if any of our teachings have helped you, you have any testimonies, we would love to hear from you. We're also on Facebook, Voice of Believers Church. And Lord, I just release us now in the blessing, because you said we're blessed going in and blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Whatever we put our hand to is blessed, because Jesus took the curse from us so we could walk in the blessing wherever we go. I thank you, no sickness or disease shall come to our dwelling, but you'll satisfy us with a long life. I thank you, Lord, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I thank you that no matter how old we get, we're still going to be green and producing fruit in season, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Even if the enemy comes after us one way, he'll be fleeing from us seven different ways. And I thank you, we're going over, not under. We're always on top and not never at the bottom. We're increasing and not decreasing. Why? So we can be a blessing to all of humanity. So, Lord, I just thank you. You go wherever we go, in Jesus' name. And all agree, say amen. Amen. Any prayers? I'm ready.